A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Word Fountain Christian Ministries. Be blessed.
Amen. God has blessed and loaded her with wisdom. Hallelujah. To hear his word. Hallelujah. I'd like to greet our leaders. I'd like to greet all of you. I'd like to greet our senior pastor. And I always say thank you for a privilege to be here, to be given the opportunity to share what I believe the Lord is saying to us today. Amen. Hallelujah. So we were not here last week, but I understand some fellowships at home, and they were looking at the Word of God. That's the good thing about the dispensation we're in. We don't have to be stuck to a building. We can call the Lord wherever we are and commune and fellowship and pray to him. Hallelujah. And the week before, we were learning about God, our eternal refuge. We were talking, the servant of God was sharing, comparing to our theme in November, which was about the cities of refuge. And he was talking about those cities that God put aside. He asked them to be set aside. So if anyone had unintentionally killed, through his mercy, they could go there for refuge. And it was talking about the different characteristics of the different cities. One was called the holy place. One was called the strong shoulder. Then one was called the hiding place, and so on and so forth for the six cities. Even as good as it was then, the servant of God was sharing that what we have now, God, our eternal refuge, that was just a shadow of things to come. That what we have now is so much greater in God, the eternal refuge. It is not a temporary refuge. It's not a refuge that could be destroyed. But what we have is a great refuge. Amen. Amen. So if we've not listened to that message, I will encourage us to listen and just to get a background. And I believe that today, what the Lord is saying, he's taking it from that place. So our theme for the month is our eternal refuge. And the Lord, what I believe the Lord said in my heart, he said, our eternal refuge has not changed his mind. Amen. Can you say to somebody next to you, our eternal refuge has not changed his mind? In case they did not hear, please say to somebody else so they don't think they're leaving, you're leaving your no refuge, has not changed his mind. Nothing about the situation, nothing about what the news is saying, nothing about the environment will make him change his plan, his promises. Whether it's 2 weeks before the 31st, he's not panicking God. The angels in heaven, God is not looking around thinking, oh my God, what are we going to do? It's 2 weeks before the end of December. He's sitting on his throne. We are told the earth is his footstool. And he's looking and he's not changing his mind. He's not wavering him. He's not shaking him. So as his children, why should we shake? We shouldn't shake. Because our Father is not shaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even if everything around us is shaking, his word does not shake. We hold on to him, our eternal refuge. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're just going to go to Hebrews 6, which is where we take our anchor scripture. I'll be reading mostly today, if that's okay, from New Living Translation. Hebrews 6, if we're there, if we can say amen. Praise God. I just want to read Hebrews 15. The anchor scripture is 6:18-20. But it's okay. I'm just going to give a bit of a background, and then we will come back to the anchor scripture. Hebrews 6:15. The Bible says, then Abraham, then Word Fountain, waited patiently, and Abraham received what God had promised. He waited patiently. If you read verse 1 of Hebrews 6, and if you go on to Hebrews 10, you also see some of the things that the Lord was talking about, what the Hebrew writer was talking to them in that letter. I'd just like to give a background to the book of Hebrews. It's always good to think about the book and the background, why it was written, to give a full context. So we don't just pick out a verse without understanding why it was written. You see, what was happening then is that there were Jewish Christians. They followed like the Mosaic laws. There were over 600 laws, the Jewish Christians, before they became Christians. That's what they followed. And then somebody came and gave them the great news about Jesus Christ. And they understood that and they gave their life to Christ. But in that, those days, it was not easy to be a Christian, not like it is now. Some things don't change in terms of the environment. But they were getting persecuted a lot. They were beaten up, their things were stolen. Some of them were losing their lives. The situation was difficult. There was a lot of persecution. As a result, their faith was wavering. They were questioning, did we do the right thing to follow Jesus? Should we have just stuck to what we knew, where people didn't trouble us? Even though it wasn't great, we knew what we had. And they were starting to review. They were starting to think about it. There's a part in Hebrew where the writer says, please don't trade, don't sell your birthright. And they were just considering, why have we chosen this fate? And the truth was, the persecution was supposed to intensify. So the Hebrew author was conscious. And the reason why they were looking to compromise, because they wanted to protect their family. They wanted to protect their friends, because they didn't want them to come into any serious harm. And the Hebrew writer was trying to remind them of what they have, an eternal refuge of Christ. To say this, what you have is unchangeable. What you have is dependable. What you have cannot compare. Despite the persecution around you, what you have in God is greater than anything else. For us today, we came into 2017. Probably some of us remember the crossover night where we were dancing and everything was exciting. We were looking forward to 2017. Some of us had our goals. We had the prayer points. You write how many prayer points by this time in the year. We expect this to be done in 2017. And we're here in December and we're still looking at that prayer point. And it looks like it's not been answered. There's some situations that are intensified and we're saying, but Lord, we chose to follow you. I've worked in your house. When they say fast, I've fasted. When they say do this, I've done all the different things that I could do to show that I obey and I serve you. But why hasn't situations, why doesn't things seem to be moving and changing around? Hallelujah. And the Lord says, I'm the eternal refuge. I have not changed my mind. I still will do what I said I will do. Hallelujah. His promises, they don't change. In Genesis 28:15, and if someone else can open Joshua 21:45. Genesis 28:15. And if somebody else can open Joshua 21:45, and we bless God, we've got the able technical team come in with the mic. If you just wave your hand if you've found it, Genesis 28:15. Praise God. Genesis, sorry, ma, we'll just wait for the mic.
I am with thee, amen. And will keep thee in all places, amen. Whither thou goest, amen. And will bring thee again into this land. Amen. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which have spoken.
Hallelujah. Thank you, man. We hear that, especially part B. The Lord will not leave you until I've given everything that he has promised to you. This was Abraham he was talking to. He was assuring him. And we can lay stake to that promise today as well. We say, God, he will not leave, he will not forsake us. Why? Because he has not finished doing everything he has promised in your life. Joshua 21:45, please, if anyone's there. I'll read, praise God, because of time. He said, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel, to Word Fountain, to those who are here, had failed to come to pass. Amen. Not one word. Of all the good promises. There are some people that like to promise, but they are promising threats. I will do this, and whatever. But the God we serve, his promises are good. Amen. And he said, every single, not one word, not even the sentence, not one word will not come to pass in your life. The eternal refuge who has not changed his mind. Amen. He's here today and he's speaking to you. He's telling you in that situation, whatever areas that look like is unshiftable, unmovable, compared to God. I remember one time I was just standing, just thinking about all the things I needed to do. I was going through and thinking, where's the capacity to manage all this? And the Lord took me aside and he said in my heart, he said, Whatever, however big the situation seems to be, can never compare to the word against what I have in store for you. It's much, 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 it's incomparable. So sometimes the situation looks like this massive Mount Everest in front of us. But when you compare it to the eternal refuge and the word and the plans, it's incomparable. Amen. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, if we're there, 2 Corinthians 1:20, I will read. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it and the Message version. The New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for all of God's promise, are we there? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for all, everyone of God's promises, that is, you pick the Bible, you find a promise. It says, all of them have been fulfilled in Christ. Amen. With a resounding yes. I love the word resounding. You know, I read it as it literally says, it is resounding. Amen. His promise is resounding. In January, I don't know what the doctor said. And you are saying, God's promise said, I will not die, I will live to proclaim the works of God. If you go back to the appointment in March, and they say, I've seen the same situation, it's not changed. That same promise is resounding, and Jesus is saying, yes, that one has been tested, and it cannot fail. Because every word of that promise has been tested, it's been purified 7 times in a furnace, and he has never failed. So the word carries on, resounding, yes. Yes, yes, it is working, every part of it. Whatever the situation, whatever the problem, God's word, his promises, our eternal refuge, who does not change, the word is yes. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, and through Christ, our amen, it means yes. Listen to this. Hallelujah. Amen. It means yes. And it's not just a yes that remains in the ceiling. It says it ascends to God for his glory. So when you hear a word that you have promised, you hold on to it. You say amen. When you say yes, it's going straight to our Father, eternal refuge. He's saying, oh, wow. Winford just said yes. I heard that yes. Favor said yes. Bridget said yes. And he's saying, I heard the yes. Who can say no when our God says yes? And I like also the way the Message version, it said, whatever God has promised, it gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. It gets stamped with that blood that speaks of better things. When that same letter comes from the immigration and it says all sorts of things. Sometimes there's so many pages, you don't even know where to focus. And it said, but my God, he says, wherever my land, my feet will touch, it will be my possession. You know, I go to some places, some people think, what is wrong with her? It's raining. I just remove my shoes and I step out my car for a little bit. I say, I'm claiming you as my inheritance. I am claiming you as my inheritance. They're looking at me, I say, you don't know what's going on here. Hallelujah. And I put my shoes back on. Because why? It's been stamped with the yes of Jesus. In him, this is what we preach and pray. The great amen. It says God's yes and our yes together. Amen. Gloriously evident. God affirms us, making us a sure thing in Christ. He puts his yes within us. So when your heart starts to worry, there's a promise. If you can't hold it, he can only put a yes if you're holding the promise in your heart. He can only put a yes. You see, when the situation comes and you phone a friend and they're telling you, you just have to do X, B, because other people, if they don't do it, this will happen. God cannot say yes to that. The only yes he can say yes to is when you pick up his word. Pick up a promise. None shall be barren. Amen. You hold it in your heart. Yes. So whatever the friend says, how long have you been married? My Bible says none shall be barren. And Lord is saying yes and is comforting you with that word. Hallelujah. By his spirit he has stamped us with his eternal pledge. A sure beginning of what he is destined to complete. He stamped a pledge, that is, whatever you're seeing, it's a sure thing of what he is destined to complete. Hallelujah. He will complete. Yes, everything, every work, good work he started in you, he will bring it to completion. in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If we read the anchor scripture, but I'll come back there, but we see that it was talking about Abraham, who waited patiently. I'd just like us to just look in the time we have very briefly, as God will help us. We'll look at some of the things on Abraham. It's just touching things we know, but it's just revisiting some of those areas of Abraham to see why is he always loved as the father of faith. Why him as an example? We're just going to start with Genesis 15. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, bless you, son. Bless you, son. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. He's saying amen. Hallelujah. In chapter 15 of Genesis, the Bible says, sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision. And he said to him, do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great. Hallelujah. But Abraham replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Some people think, is Abraham not grateful? But you see, the Lord has spoken to Abraham, told him he'll make him a great nation. About 11 years or so, Abraham is still waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. He's saying, how can I be a great nation when I don't have a son? How is it possible? So when the Lord says a great reward, his mind is still thinking of the promise God had already mentioned before. So it's very difficult to say amen, amen, because he's saying, Lord, I don't see how. Some people's answer, some people's response, when God, even now, he's speaking, we're saying, well, Lord, how can I have a child when I don't even have a husband? How can I get all these great things in this land when I'm still waiting for perfection and completion of my papers? How can you say my marriage is a blessing when my wife, my husband, is not even talking to me? How can you say my family is blessed when I don't even know half the time the whereabouts of my children? How can you say that there's a blessing in my job when half the time I just don't want to be there? How? Thank you, Lord, for all the word. Thank you, Lord, for all the prayers. But how? Because right now, the things I'm seeing around me is not showing what you're saying. How can you say I move forward when health-wise, all I see is negative reports, Lord? How? So Abraham was no different in the sense of how, as a human being, our questions we normally ask God. He says, since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, may the Lord say to somebody today, in Jesus' name. He said, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside. He took him outside. Mr. Faith, let's go outside. Because he's saying, don't look in your situation. Don't look at what letter you received. Don't look at what phone call you received. Don't look at the things around you that are not working. He said it's time to look outside. Because the earth, everything you see, it belongs to me. I created it. Look afield. Look far. Don't look in your situation. Don't look inside. Look outside. And what does the Lord say to him? He doesn't say just look outside. He says look up. Look up. Look at me. Look at God. Do not turn back to everything else. Because I am God. Look. Look. And Abraham looks. And he tells him, count the stars if you can. Because there are so many of them. He says, count. Mr. Favor, can you count? Okay. You're talking in faith now. So realistically, are there any stars? There are no stars. Why? Because it's in the daytime. You see, you can only see stars when it gets dark. So Abraham was the dark time in his life. It was a season where it was dark. It was getting dark. It was not bright. So it was dark.
But you see, while he was seeing dark things, God was seeing stars. Amen. In his situation. Amen. God was seeing... Amen. Hallelujah. God was seeing uncountable stars. The children were telling us in one time they came to share that there are billions. And you know what? God knows them by name. He calls them the stars in your dark situation. He says joy will surely come in the morning. Even though weeping is enduring for that night time, your joy will come. Your joy will come. Hallelujah. He's calling every... What do you think the Lord is calling your star? He wants you to look at the stars. Look for the stars. Stop looking for the miserable things around. That's what the enemy... You see, if it was the enemy, he will take you inside. He will say, even close the door. Turn off the light. Close everything. But the Lord is saying, no, look. Up. Focus. Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy try to suppress you. That's not God's word. That's not his promise for you. Hallelujah. He says, count them. Hallelujah. And verse 6 says, and Abraham and Word Fountain believed the Lord. Amen. And the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. May the Lord count us righteous because of our faith. Amen. Verse 7 said, the Lord told him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession. May the Lord reintroduce himself to somebody today again. May he reintroduce himself in your situation. Amen. Hallelujah. But Abraham replied, O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it? And the Lord told him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. It said, so Abraham presented all these to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. And he said this in verse 11. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses. But Abraham, he chased them away. Hallelujah. We have to chase away vultures. Hallelujah. You know, some thoughts can be vultures. Some suggestions can be vultures. To try and eat that promise that is saying yes. We'll just bombard the mind with so many suggestions. Some decisions in 2017 were vultures. I was listening to Minister Wale. He came and he gave the testimony that he had made up his mind to spend the commission. He doesn't miss any vigil. But you know, a vulture could be the time when you say, I'm going to vigil. That manager calls you with the biggest shift, with the biggest overtime pay. And you say, vigil, pay. Well, I've got all these bills. We have bills, right? I've got all these bills, so I'm going to go overtime. That is a vulture. There are different things that can be vulture, but what did Abraham do? He chased the vultures away. May God chase everything that tries to choke the promises of God in our lives. If you read down to the rest of the chapter, it says there was even a more intense darkness. But you see what God was speaking. Even in those dark situations, God was still speaking. Right through the end, God was instructing Abraham. Even in the darkness, the Lord told Abraham of things to come in 400 years' time. 400 ahead. God spoke to Abraham. Read it. You will see that I'm not making it up. The Bible talks in Acts 17 of the Berean Christian. Whenever Paul will teach, every day they will go and search the Bibles for themselves. May that be said of us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. We know of the scripture in Isaiah 60. It says, arise, Jerusalem. Arise, Word Fountain. Let your light shine for all to see. For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Verse 2. Darkness as black as night. It may cover the nation. But the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. You will not suffocate in darkness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I'll just move on. I can't go in detail every chapter. We'll just skip some. Because I want to go back to our anchor scripture. And then if we go to Genesis 21. I'll read from verse 1. The Bible says, and the Lord kept his word. And he did for Sarah, he did for Word Fountain exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. Whatever visions you are carrying, you will surely deliver in good in the right time. And it will not be aborted in Jesus' name. God kept his word. God will keep his word about your life. He is the eternal refuge. We started with, we say his mind has not changed. In chapter 22 of Genesis, I'll just read that and then we'll go on to the anchor scriptures and then round up. And it said, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Sometime later, it took about 25 years for Abraham to wait for the promise. I'm not saying that I promise God is saying it's 25 years. I don't think anyone will talk to me after I left this altar. Hallelujah. He makes all things beautiful in his own time. Amen. He has the Kairos timing. That is his opportune time for you. Amen. And so he had waited 25 years. And finally, he has Isaac. And the Bible said, well, if you look at the commenters, they said probably when he was about 15, this is all rough, that age. In other words, he was not a baby at this stage. And the Lord calls him and he said, yes, he replied, here I am. And the Lord tells him this wonderful message. You have been waiting for a son for so long. And as we know, the Lord comes with this wonderful message. In verse 2, he says, take your son, your only son. Yes, Isaac, the one, yes, the one who you love so much, yes. And go to the land of Moriah. It's not our Pastor Moriah. This is a different smelling. Hallelujah. Go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him. This is the one, the only one, the one you love. Sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. And the next morning, Abraham got up early and he saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. It said, on the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place and the distance. Just pausing there for a moment. So it's 3 days of going to this place that the Lord has told you is where you've got to sacrifice this only son that you dearly love. And I'm trying to imagine what's going through Abraham's head. 3 days. He's probably thinking, Lord, day one, please speak and tell me. Maybe you are just joking. Maybe you are just testing. One day one. He hasn't heard. Day two, he's waiting. Lord, I don't want to go through this, but I have to be obedient. Speak. Sometimes it feels like God is not speaking, isn't it? It just feels really silent. You're trusting, you're waiting. God, speak. Day two, he's waiting. God, speak. And he's still not hearing. But you know, in Job, the Bible says God speaks again and again, but it's us that don't recognize it. Because sometimes in that stillness, in that quiet, God is speaking. And he's waiting. Day three comes and he sees the place. What does he do? He said to the servants, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will travel a little further. And he says, we will worship there and we will come right back. Yes. Imagine the faith. Yes. God had not told them they would come right back. He just believed God. That this God who I've known all this while, my eternal refuge, who doesn't change his mind. He's already promised me that this one is the seed of the promise, Isaac. So whatever he's deciding to do now, he must have something even mightier than what I have in mind. It doesn't make sense sometimes the journey God takes us through. Everyone will be looking and saying, now you say you serve God. Your mates have progressed. Some have got promotion. Some have got lots of children, grandchildren, even great-grandchildren. And you're saying you're following God. This is your God. I don't understand it. I don't. And even you are saying, I'm not sure. But God will help us because our yes is resounding in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, he speaks prophetically and he says, we will just worship. Give an offering, worship. And we will come right back. We'll be right back. So Abraham placed the wood And he goes on. And then in verse 7, it said, Isaac turned to Abraham, his father, and said, and his father said, yes, my son. Abraham replied, we have the fire and the wood. And the boy said, but, daddy, where is the sheep for the burnt offering? And I love Abraham's prophetic answer again. And he says, Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. And Abraham said, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. Did he know that? But he knew God's character. I know, I love testimonies because it encourages you to remember what he's done before. But the bigger testimony is knowing the God you serve. Knowing the eternal refuge. Because even if he's not worked in that area before, because you know his character, no matter what's going on, you will say, this God has not changed. And not because of me will he change. And Abraham is saying, you know, God will provide a sheep. And I was playing that conversation thinking, if some Abraham's parents in this modern day, your mind is processing, it's been the third day, you are probably thinking, what am I going to say to Sarah? I know how old Sarah is now. There's some news I cannot even pass to Sarah because I don't know if her heart can even contain this one. And it's processing different things. Then your son comes and says, daddy, where's the sheep? That's the last thing you want to hear. It's the last conversation. I was just thinking, Lord, what would be some of the answer we might give? We might say something like, Isaac, please. There's sometimes, there's just some questions you don't need to ask. If I had the sheep, wouldn't you see the sheep? Please. Isaac, for now, let's just walk quietly as we worship. Don't say another word, please. Don't open your mouth. Did you hear me? Don't open. That's some of the way our mind will work. Because you're processing so many things. But Abraham, he was calm. Because he knew this eternal refuge. He said, our God, he will provide. And what I love is he was a great father. Because Isaac recognized that if you're going to give an offering to God, you need a sacrifice. He understood that a sheep will be needed. If you read on, I said Isaac was probably about 15. I mean, we look at our beautiful, gorgeous, precious Janelle. I'm seeing her brother that she's just holding her like this, like, mommy, you can rub the back. Huh? If some of us, I've seen Janelle now. If somebody brings another baby, I say, no, that's not Janelle. I know Janelle. I've seen her beautiful face. Even that bow on her head is beautiful. And I've seen Janelle. And then after spending 15 years, and God calls for something. But whatever he calls you for, you'll have the grace and you'll do it mightily. So imagine now, Isaac is 15 or so, as the commenters say. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but from the ages and everything, they've tried to map out, he could have been 15. And they said he tied him. And he's 15, he didn't struggle. I don't know, my 15-year-old, anyone trying to tie me up? And you know there's a wood, and there's a fire coming, and you're sitting there, yes, daddy, yes, mom, hello. Will you stay? Maybe we are Word Fountain. We will stay. Hallelujah. But before I was Word Fountain, I would not have stayed. But he stayed. Amen. Why did he stay? A son again who his father had told him about his God. He must have had faith to stay there. He must have believed his father's God. Dad must have given him testimonies to say, this is what God did. This is how our God is. And Abraham put him on there. He put the wood. Hey, this son is so obedient. And Abraham picks up the knife. And this 15-year-old is just lying there. This is somebody who knew his God. There's some situations that look like there's a knife coming for you. There are things coming for you. And you're calling out, you're saying, God, help me. Help me, Father. Do not leave me. Do not forsake me. That's your word. That's what it says. And he heard, Abraham, the Lord, the angel of the Lord called. And he said, here I am. said, don't lay a hand on the boy. The God that turns up right on time, right in the nick of time, he turned up and he said, just like Abraham had believed. Again, we see it in verse 13. What does he say? He says, look up. Don't look inside. Look up. And he saw a ram that was caught by the horn. And that's where we get the name Jehovah Jireh. Amen. The God who provides. I was thinking about it. I say, do I give God names in a situation? You know? Do I, rather than concentrate on the situation, because I know who my God is, do I already give him a name? Because I know he's the God of breakthrough. You know, you look for a name in that situation. Somebody has already called him great physician. You look for your own. You are the greatest, the greater physician. You look for different names in different situations. The binder of the marriage. The one who turns things around. You see, because Abraham was believing God, God did something that he had not done. You see, we talked about God's promises being sure. But you see, if you continue reading from verse 15, it said, and the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. It's 16. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and you have not withheld even your son, your only son. I don't know what you've withheld just to serve God this year. I don't know. There are times when you've come, people don't understand your sacrifice. He said, because you have obeyed me. You know, withheld your only son. He said, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. God swore by his own name. His promises are strong enough. He does not need to make an oath. He didn't. Because his promise, when God said yes, there is no minus to that yes. He didn't have to undergird it. He didn't have to, you know, put an extra oath. An oath on it. Because his promises. But because of that unique faith he saw in Abraham, he had to do something unique. He had to do something unusual. Whatever your situation is, trust God for the spectacular. Trust God for the unusual. Trust God for a testimony that's never even been heard or even recorded in the Guinness Book of Records. Because our God can do it. He will take those ingredients. You know, I think about God. You know, somebody was sharing yesterday. And he was just telling us about the things we know. How God took the man's rib and he made a woman. And we say it and it seems normal. But can you imagine somebody taking a rib and making a woman who is wonderfully, fearfully made out of a rib? A rib. How many of us like our spare ribs? Maybe no one will admit it in spare rib. But look at the shape of that rib. A human rib. God used it to make a woman. You look outside when you're going home, look at the dust. This dust, God used to create us. He used to make wild animals in Genesis 2. This same earth, God. And then when we have our situation, we're worrying God cannot intervene. These are only some of the things. When he says he can name billion stars, this is God. He knows every hair on your head, the hair strand. They have numbers. Some that would just comb as women and just throw it away. God knows every hair strand that is in the bin, wherever we throw it. That's how mighty he is. So when I say trust him for unusual, he doesn't need the usual ingredients to do a miracle. The things he's not done before, the things people have not heard before. Don't look at him for a particular formula. God is not boring. He's not a formulaic God. He's a creative God. He can use your situation just to show. In fact, he wants to use your situation and show his glory. When the man was blind in John 10, they said, this man has been blind from birth. Whose fault is it? Is it his parents' fault? And Jesus said, no, it's to display the power. Ha! All powerful God. It's to display his power. God just wants your life to display his power. Amen. Why don't we let him? Why don't Abraham just offer it to say, God, use me completely. Amen. Because it will surely end in victory. Amen. Hallelujah. And we'll just go to Hebrew even as we start to round up. Hebrews 6. Praise God. And he said, God also bound himself, verse 17, like we read, with an oath, so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. Verse 18, where our anchor scriptures comes from. It says, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable. Some version, King James says, immutable. Immutable means it's unchanging over time. Unable to be changed. It is fixed, it is set. It is rigid, it's inflexible. It's unyielding, it's unbending, it's permanent, it's established, even well established. It's unshakable, it's unremovable, it's indelible, it's eradicable. Whatever that means, but in Oxford we should know. Hallelujah. It's unvarying. It's undeviating, it's constant, it's lasting, it's enduring, it's persistent, it's abiding, it's perpetual, it's immutable, it's unchangeable. It says it is impossible for God to lie. It's not that he tries to lie and he holds back. It's impossible. There's nothing like lie. If he wanted to show us every little article, they say atom, quarks, whatever. If he showed us the smallest piece of him, opened it up and that, there is no lie. You see, with us, because we're flesh, there are times when we say a white lie, just a white lie. And we say, God, forgive me. But with God, it's not in his character. It's alien to God. Lie. The devil is the one who's the father of all lies. And he says, it's impossible for him to lie. And you know, I'm not going to read it because of time. You know, the verse we quote in Numbers that said God is not man, that he should lie. The foundation to that is that Balak got the prophet to come to curse the children of God. And he promised him all these things to say, look, these children of God, they're prospering. When I look at them, all I need you to do, I hear that what you say happens. All I need you to do is just curse them. But he went to God. God said, I have not cursed them. You cannot curse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He retraced it back to the blessing that God blessed with Abraham. This God that does not change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ms. Zanke was reading Exodus 33 about the blessings of God that Moses was talking about. If you read further down, he reminded him of the oath he had given to Abraham. And God, what he was going to do, he forgave the children of Israel. It said, therefore, all we who have fled to him for refuge. Who, where are you running for refuge? Where are you running for refuge with the different things? You can have, God is promising, you can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our soul. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Because Jesus has already gone in there for us. Hallelujah. There was a veil before. Me and you could not enter, could not draw close to God. But Jesus went in, he's torn the veil. That means we can draw nearer to God. He has become an eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He has become an eternal high priest, pleading our case. Hallelujah. You see, where Jesus has gone, it's not an imitation of what's in heaven. You see, what God was giving us was a pattern to copy where he was. But on your behalf, my behalf, Jesus went directly to heaven. You see, the picture the Lord was giving me is like when you go, you see Buckingham Palace, you have a picture. So this is nice. There's some people that don't, or even an embassy in your country is supposed to represent the actual country. You might have one person who talks about that country. It's not the same as going to the country and going directly to the prime minister. So the equivalent of what Jesus did was rather than go to a replica, he went directly to God for you, for me, directly to heaven, tabernacle. That's why we can hope. Have a hope that is secure. Trustworthy anchor. The storms might come to move you, but your anchor is in that inner sanctuary. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Jesus. If we don't know Jesus, even if we do, it's better to know him more. And when we don't find out about him, don't go into 2018 without knowing about this great God, our refuge. As we rise up in prayer, let's start to thank God for his word. Let's thank him that he's been our eternal refuge. In 2017, there were storms that came. There were things that could have pushed us down. But the Lord was there. Father, let's just thank him. Open our mouth and thank him for the provision he has made. Those promises that never fail. Those promises that have been tested and stand sure. Daddy, King of Glory, we thank you for your word, for your promise, for your goodness, for everything you did for us, you continue to do for us as our eternal refuge, our strength. Father, you said your name is a strong tower. We run into it and we are saved. Daddy, we have been saved. Daddy, you helped us. Father, we bless your holy name. All the different things. We heard about a testimony where delivery could have been a problem. But Father, oh God, you aided the delivery. Because you are the eternal refuge that does not change your mind. We're here to celebrate a dedication. Because you made the way. Daddy, you gave your son so we could celebrate a dedication of a child. Without you, we're nothing. Daddy, we're saying thank you for life. Thank you for breath. Thank you for keeping us together. Daddy, in the name of Jesus, let's just ask God for mercy. Anytime when we've been so afraid that we've held on to an alternative source, where we've not submitted all to God, where we've shifted our gaze, where we trusted the weaker frame. Father, Lord Jesus, we ask you who is rich in mercy, where your mercies are new every morning. Daddy, Lord, wherever in the year, where we shifted, where we looked for an alternative to what you provided to us. Daddy, we are asking for mercy. Daddy, for our men, we say mercy. Daddy, for our women, we say mercy. For the children, we say mercy. For the youth in the different assemblies, Daddy, we say mercy. Father, we thank you, oh God. Daddy, because you listen to us, your ears are not too heavy. Your arms are not too far, too short to reach us, oh God. Daddy, we bless your name. Hallelujah, my God. Hallelujah, my King. Let's ask the Lord for the grace to trust him, for the grace to hold on and not give up. Hallelujah. It said in Hebrews 10:23, let's hold on tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Father, oh God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will help us. It's not easy to hold on. God hears as we pray. It's not easy to hold on. Ask him. 2018 is a year we want to learn to hold on to God, even for the rest of this year. Daddy, teach me to hold on. Let my foot not slip. Daddy, to hold on to your everlasting arm, the one that is beneath us, the one who drove away every enemy. Daddy, we thank you. Daddy, we bless your name. Daddy, as a church, you will teach us to hold on. You will teach us to be patient. We will teach us to trust you. As families, you teach us to hold on. Peradventure, there's somebody who is feeling tired and worn out. Daddy, Lord, you're the one who lifts those who are weighed down. Anyone who is feeling weighed down, here or anywhere else, Daddy, with your everlasting arm, lift them up from despair. Lift them up, oh God, with your arms. You say you drive away the enemies. You say destroy everything that's come to steal, kill, or destroy. Daddy, destroy it in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Daddy, we give you all the glory. You have spoken to us. You said you have not changed your mind. Daddy, we believe you. And where we're still struggling, help our unbelief. Daddy, we thank you. Because your word said the promises are received by faith. Daddy, Lord Jehovah, give us the faith level to receive everything you have promised of every single one of us. We will not go away the same. We thank you that you will never leave us till you fulfilled every promise you have spoken over our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless. Yeah.